Hey everybody, it's Michael here, and welcome to the weekend edition of the Good E-Reader radio show. All right, everybody, it's Saturday, April 27th, 2013, and a lot of things have happened in the last week in e-reader land, as it were. Before we get into the news, let's talk about some things that we're going to be doing over the course of this next week. The BlackBerry Q10 comes out. It's the first BlackBerry 10 phone with a built-in keyboard, much akin to the BlackBerry Curve and BlackBerry Bold of old, except it features a touchscreen and the latest and greatest BlackBerry OS. Now, for the Q10, there's a lot of apps that have just been released for it, most notably Skype. And so we have both Skype for the Q10 and Z10 on apps.goodereader.com right on our front page. So Skype has released native apps for both BlackBerry phones, and so we'll be demoing that, but we'll also be reviewing the Q10, comparing the Q10 versus the Z10, and doing a lot of tutorial videos showing you basically what you're going to get. It's launching in Canada first and the UK. The United States won't get it for about another month and a half, and the rest of the world will see staggered releases, so we're pretty excited about that. Of course, with our app store, we upload 30, 40 apps every single day, and we're getting some good feedback on our new APK to bar converter. This is a service that we've provided that will allow you to convert Android files to BlackBerry-friendly files. It's in beta right now, And we're not really sharing the link, but if you go to the Crackberry website and you go to either the Android sideloading section for the Z10 Q10 or the Playbook Android section, we have links in there. It's basically invite only because we don't want to overwhelm the server that we're using for it, and we're just trying to bug test it all, but we're trying to do a big release for it sometime in the next week. The last thing that we're trying to work on is a queue manager system, so right now, it's kind of doing odd things if more than a few people are trying to convert at the same time. So we're just implementing a basic line system. So one person, when they're done, the next person in line will be able to do it. And this way, everything should work pretty seamlessly. Texter is getting a lot of news lately. They've expanded into a lot of different countries, most notably Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and some places in Europe. Now, this is all fine and well. I mean, more ebooks and more accessibility to different sort of ecosystems is never a bad thing. But we have found that a lot of their ebooks, especially in Australia and New Zealand, often cost 60% more than they do on Amazon. And we had some readers that actually emailed us some information. Deadly Seas, for example, published April 13th. It's $32 on Texter, $17 on Amazon. A travel guide, History of Our Streets, London, $39 on Texter, $21 on Amazon. The Religion of Technology, $32 on Texter, $11 on Amazon. So you can see that some of their prices are abysmally high, and we've reached out to the company to find out what is the big gulf between prices on their service versus competing services, and not only Amazon, but also Kobo and Barnes & Noble as well. Although with Barnes & Noble, it's US, UK only. Kobo is more of their closest competitor, especially in New Zealand and Australia, where they've really elevated their footprint in the last few years. We got a lot of Amazon news, as always. They seem to never get out of the news. Basically, they released their quarter one financial reports, and I'm not going to get into all of the money that they made and in some cases have lost. Ebooks are down. Overall net profit, ebook sales is up. Overall net profit is down. But the thing that I liked was that the Amazon Kindle Lending Library surpassed 300,000 titles. If you're not too familiar with this, basically if you buy into Amazon Prime, it's about $79 a year. You get free shipping and everything like that, but you get access to one free ebook a month. And you're not just getting schlock, but you get, say, Suzanne Collins' The Hunger Games, you get the entire Harry Potter series. A lot of authors and publishers are signing up for this because if you consider the average book is about 99 cents, if you get your book loaned through this program, you actually make more than you would for an individual sale. And if you're an author that has written, say, a trilogy or a series of books, you can give away the first book for free and then hook readers into paying for the additional titles. Amazon cumulatively has a pool of money that they sometimes reduce or sometimes put more money into it, especially around holiday seasons, back to school, Christmas time, Easter, Mother's Day, you know, things like that. They enhance the pool of money to encourage authors to submit more titles to it. One of the proclivities of this system is that if you submit your book for the Kindle Lending Library system, they don't want you to have your book listed with any other companies. So know that if you want to participate in this system, you can't self-publish your title, for instance, on competitor sites. If Amazon finds out about it, they'll suspend your service. Amazon has redesigned their Android app, and it's actually pretty killer. This is pretty well the biggest Android update the company has ever done. If you're ever familiar with the Amazon Kindle Fire line of tablets, what they have done with the Android version is basically mirror the UI in the respects that your main screen is a carousel of books, so you could swipe left and right, click on a book, and you get that kind of carousel type of feel to it. And on the bottom of your main screen, you have sort of recommended titles, and you could actually go and buy things. If you tap in the top left-hand corner, there's a menu there. You can check out samples, newspapers, direct links to a lot of stuff. I really like this, and we do have the updated version on our own Goody Reader app store. So if you don't have access to Google Play, you can just type in on the top left-hand corner of the search bar and just type in, you know, Kindle, and you should find some things popping up there. Also, before we wrap up Amazon news, they did release their America's Top Reading Cities. And these are cities that statistically have derived the most purchases of ebooks. So you have Alexandria, Knoxville, Miami, Cambridge, and Orlando rounding off the top five. If you want to see the full top 20 list, check out the front page of our blog at goodyreader.com/blog. There was an acquisition this week, and it hits pretty close to home. Instapaper has been sold to Betaworks. If you're not too familiar with Betaworks, basically they're the company that bought Digg. And Digg was that social media site. You know, you're probably familiar with the term Digit. It's been around for a long time. And they sort of saw diminished returns over the last few years. They had outdated stuff. Betaworks purchased it, but Digg has never been able to regain the market share that it once had. So the company had bought Instapaper. Instapaper launched in 2008, was basically one of those read-it-later style apps like Pocket. And what it allowed you to do was be able to flag specific links to blogs, RSS feeds, and package them either as ebooks in EPUB or Mobi format, or you could use the Instapaper app for Android, PC, iOS, and so on, and actually read things through there. And you can think of it as offline reading. And so if you're on an airplane a lot or outside of Wi-Fi areas, if you only have sort of a Wi-Fi tablet and you commute on the bus, you don't have access to Wi-Fi or anything like that, you could actually use Instapaper. The apps cost usually about $1.99 or so, but Betaworks had purchased Instapaper. For the here and now, nothing's going to happen with the Instapaper app, but the original developer of Instapaper is going to be basically just sort of providing a guidance role. No word on what Betaworks or Digg is going to do with it. I probably surmise that they'll integrate Instapaper so you'll be able to flag Digg articles and read it later, or integrate that sort of thing in there. Kobo has done something really cool, seeing as though we're on a little bit of ebook news here. They have launched their first transmedia interactive detective mystery story called The Descent. It's a contest. You can win up to $5,000. What it is an author has written three books, and one is available now, and the rest will be available within this next few weeks. They have a link to the website. I believe it's kobo.com/The Descent. And what it is, it's sort of leading up to the new Dan Brown novel. And so in this book, you'll be able to decipher clues, encryptions, you know, cryptography, all that sort of jazz. And there will be doing things via social media so people could share clues and stuff with each other. It's not really too clear what this is all about, but you could find out all more on kobo.com/The Descent. What it is J.F. Penn is a writing life author, and so she worked with Kobo on this. She's done a lot of thriller and mystery books, and she's done a lot of historically based things, so sort of like a Dan Brown, you know, in the respects that she does the same sort of stuff as he does. And it looks like a cool contest. I mean, this is the first contest that they've ever ran with that. Branching off a little bit, Square Enix has shut down their digital manga stores in the U.S. and France. Not a lot of people were aware of this, but it looks like that, you know, They have Full Metal Alchemist, Black Butler, a lot of kind of comics and manga and graphic novels. Really, the whole digital rights management was ridiculous. You couldn't really read things within the app. Pretty abysmal. So, good riddance to bad rubbish, as I would say. We do have a little bit of tuning our own horn, if I may. We have celebrated our anniversary. We originally started in 2009 for Goody Reader, and it was since that, from 2009 to about now, we've roughly had about 54 million people visit our news site, and we're pretty happy about that. I mean, it shows that a lot of people choose our website for the latest digital publishing, e-paper, e-reader, e-book, and all of that sort of news that we cover, and we're pretty happy about it, you know. I've always been a reader, as you guys know, and grew up reading Star Wars read-along records, you know, taught myself how to read basically at like 3 years old by just memorizing the records, memorizing the words, and just, you know, going there, you know, and having a lot of fun. And so it's really nice to be able to earn my living, you know, writing books, writing about the things that I like, and actually being able to go to all these crazy conventions for O'Reilly Tools for Change, Digital Book World, Book Expo America, Frankfurt Book Fair, London Book Fair, all these book expos and library conventions where I get to kind of chat it up with people in the industry that are stalwart heroes, in my opinion. And we've done a lot of things over the years. We have almost 700 YouTube videos, millions of hours watched. We've done a lot of kind of cool things in the respects of our app store, our ebook lending club, and some projects that we've kind of kept under the radar that we're kind of just developing right now, such as a cloud ebook storage locker and purchasing a local company that actually sells e-readers. So we pretty well market those to schools, universities in Canada, just getting the next generation into reading. Speaking of reading, Pocketbook has announced two new e-readers and a tablet. Really, I kind of wrote Pocketbook off as a company that they hadn't really released anything new in the last few years. And they had a press conference in Russia, which is pretty well Eastern Europe. Russia is pretty well their bread and butter market right now. We're trying to get our hands on these. You have the Pocketbook Color Lux, which is an 8-inch color e-reader, 800 by 600 pixels. It uses e-ink Triton 2 and 4 gigs of internal memory, micro SD card, 800 megahertz processor, 256 MB of RAM. Pretty woeful specs. Most even 6-inch e-readers have a 1 gigahertz processor now and at least 512 to 1 gig of RAM. It's sort of hard to use an e-reader and get fast page turns, slick menu navigation if you don't have a great processor. And Kindle Paperwhite, Kobo Aura HD, they all have, you know, 1 gigahertz processors or near about, and at least 512 to 1 gig of RAM. And that's why those devices are so responsive and very good to use. I'm not too sure about the specs with this. The Pocketbook Touch 2 is another e-reader. It's a front-lit e-reader that uses the same e-ink Pearl HD display as a lot of the other current e-readers on the market use. 1024 by 758, and same sort of specs. 256 MB of RAM, 4 gigs of internal memory, and SD card audio jack support. Finally, they got a tablet called the Pocketbook SurfPad 2. 7-inch tablet, pretty generic. 1280 by 800, 8 gigs of internal memory, Google Play certified. So this means that you can actually use the Google Play Android market, so you can get a lot of apps from there, which is, I guess, the big major advantage. We're not too sure about how these actually will perform under real life circumstances, but we will, you know, obviously try to get our hands on these as soon as we can. Rogers got in touch with us. We had reported I think about a few weeks ago that they were giving away a free Kindle e-reader, and we were not sure about the semantics of it. We've seen a few commercials, a few newspaper and online type of stuff, but they never really said what it was about. You know, what did you have to buy to qualify for it? How many have they actually given out? Well, they told us that over 2,000 e-readers have been given out. And basically, all you have to do is activate a new smartphone, any type of smartphone, as well as a $55 monthly service fee or less, or more. So that includes like talk, text, voicemail, all that jazz. So as long as you're buying a new thing on a 3-year plan and spending at least $55 a month, they'll send you a free Amazon Kindle Paperwhite. So if you're in the market for, you know, a new gadget, as it were, I think that's maybe what you're, maybe kind of what you're looking at. HarperCollins has started a new website, and they're promoting enhanced ebooks, or as they're calling it, and they're calling it something weird, folks. I believe that they're calling it deluxe ebooks. Now, what the F is deluxe ebooks? This sort of raises my dander up how confusing sort of digital ebooks have become. We're used to EPUB 2 books. When you read books on like your e-ink reader, it's EPUB 2. Apple iBooks will do EPUB 3. This is the sort of thing that will play Google Maps, will be able to play videos, animation, audio, all that jazz. And most of the kids' books for Nook, from Barnes & Noble, they'll actually do it too. Generally, people refer to it as enhanced ebooks or multimedia ebooks. Now, I hate the fact that people come along and try to call it something else, and all it does is just make everybody more confused, everything convoluted. My mom doesn't really know anything about ebooks or digital. If I were to say deluxe ebooks, she would have no effing clue. If I said a multimedia ebook, she would at least have some clue that there's more to it than just text. And this seriously raises my dander up like to a level 9 on like the Richter scale. And so I'm proposing that I'm going to write an email to these folks and just tell them to call it something else. But long story short, they're basically promoting all of their works. American Gods, American Sniper, The Power of Six, a bunch of cookbooks, a bunch of, you know, things like that. The Pioneer Woman Cooks, Telegraph Avenue, Prague Winter, and more. Basically, you'll get a sense on what it is all about. So you can check out how HarperCollins does their deluxe ebooks, as it were. Speaking of multimedia and all that jazz, the New York Times has removed digital videos from its paywall. New York Times implemented a paywall in about 2011. It allows you to basically read about 10 to 15 articles a month, and then you have to pay for the privilege. Now, videos actually accounted for that. So if you say read 10 articles, watched 5 videos, you went over your monthly limit, you wouldn't be able to read any more on the website until you actually subscribed. What they have done is they've removed videos from the subscription list, so you don't actually have to watch videos and have it account for that. Last thing I want to kind of get into is Book Expo America and the IDPF and Digital Book. This is a 2-day event that leads up to Book Expo America. Publishers Weekly and Goodreader are the two major sponsors of it, and they've just released their finalized list of the major speakers. And we're pretty happy to report that there's a lot of crazy people that are going to be there. Malcolm Gladwell, Sylvia Day, Brad Stone, and of course, a lot of digital book bloggers, Laura Owen, Jeremy Greenfield, and you're having top executives from the Big Six Houses, the Authors Guild, the U.S. Department of Justice. You're having people there from like Scholastic, from Pressbooks, from a lot of companies, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, a lot more. Even like Google is going to be there. So this is pretty well, if you're into this, this is a must see. If you don't have a press pass like I do, you can get it for about $389. Or if you're an IDPF member, it's $259. And it's a 2-day event. And this is like full days, sessions. Most of the people when they speak is like not a solo speaker other than the keynotes. But they usually have like 3 or 4 or 5 people on the stage at once and just dialoguing. So some companies will talk about big data. Another company will talk about like schools and education, digital textbooks. Other people will talk about like self-publishing. We know Kobo will be there talking about their Writing Life self-publishing program. Obviously like Create Space and companies like that from Amazon will be there too. So I'm pretty stoked about it. And this will be my first year actually going to this portion of the event. Usually I just went to Book Expo America, but we're going to be covering the entire event for that. What we're going to do is we're going to serenade you out with a little tune, and we'll get back to you in a few days and kind of give you the wrap up for and a preview of what's coming up in the next week of digital publishing, ebooks, digital comics, and a whole lot more. This is Goody Reader Radio. My name is Michael. Everybody take care.